Open up your Bible to 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. It says, He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Love is the powerful force in this universe, for God is love. So do you want to always win, to never fail, to walk in perpetual victory every day of your life? The life that wins is the life that loves. And loves that keeps on loving. Love is God, is love, is God. And God is the singularly most victorious person in the universe. Now, you got to get your mind straight on this. And if you've spent any time in church, it seems like you've heard somebody say you've got to love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your body. You got to love God more. Jesus said that, didn't he? He said that. But it's the law. On the other side of the cross, John tells us to believe the love that God has for us. I bought into that teaching of trying to love God more. And I was sincere. And I had heard people say, if you love God, you'll be out in the mission field. If you love God, you're going to be doing this. If you love God, you're not going to be doing that. And if you love God, you'll be doing all these things. And I promise you, I failed every time. And I got more and more frustrated. And even if I got what I thought was right, the devil would show me somewhere that I missed. And then I'd feel like a rat all over again. And I couldn't get that victory. I never could get where I thought I loved God the way I was supposed to love God. Well, has there anybody ever been able to keep the law perfectly? No. Only Jesus. But when I started believing the love that God had for me, then that took all that nonsense out of the way and I started getting victory. And it started getting... Actually, the things that I was trying to do started to become easy. Because I wasn't focused on myself anymore. I was focused on God. And when that happened, all these other challenges got a lot simpler because it was Him doing it through me instead of me doing it on my own efforts. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. I'm going to read this out of a different Bible, but it says, be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. That's interesting. Love and victory go hand in hand. The love of God seems to protect you from things that you don't even know are happening. When you focus on the love that God has for you, you're putting yourself in the best protection that you can imagine. In verse 57 of the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, it tells us that thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So love and victory are hand in hand. Some of the most amazing accounts I've read of people walking in love actually had some huge victories. One pastor, I read this account, and this guy had come into the church and gotten mad And anyway, he told this pastor, said, to meet him at a certain bridge in this park at a certain time. So the pastor said, okay. Now this pastor had this love walk going for himself, and he had a big revelation of the love of God for him. So he just walked out there to that bridge where that guy told him, and the guy wasn't there. So then a few weeks later, the guy showed up in his church, but he was changed. He was different. He had gotten born again. And he came up to the pastor, and the pastor said, hey, I went to meet you at the bridge, but you weren't there. He said, no, I was there. He said, I was there, and I was going to kill you. I had my gun. I was going to kill you. He said, well, what happened? He said, I don't know who that guy was that was with you, but I wasn't going to mess with him. Evidently, God had an angel with him that went before him, and this guy wasn't going to mess with him, but he was walking in the love of God and that protection that comes with the love of God sustained him through an ambush. Now, one thing we've been told to love, we've been commanded to love. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. We are commanded to believe on the name of Jesus and to love one another. When we walk in love, we walk sin-free. We give no place or permission for the devil to operate in our lives. The only way we're going to walk in love is to believe the love that God has for us. The Bible clearly tells us that He loved us first, and that the love of God was shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. See, it's all what He did to us first. We were incapable of loving God until we found out He loved us. I had an interesting friend. He was a pastor. And he used to be a Mormon. And he told me, he said, I loved Jesus with all my heart. And then he said, the more he learned, and the more he learned about the upper levels of what was going on, he said, that's not the Jesus that I fell in love with, so I left. And he went and became a non-denominational pastor. But he loved Jesus. So now that gives me the idea that there really is some born-again Mormons running around, and they just don't know what's going on upstairs. You know, because I told them, I witnessed to a lot of them, and they always end up taking me to Romans chapter 10, 9 and 10. But then later on, if they advance and keep getting more and more into it, then things seem to change. It's not the same. So I have a lot to learn about that. When we fulfill the commandment of love, we're actually fulfilling the law. I had one pastor try to tell me, you have to keep the Ten Commandments. I said, No. You're not putting me under that mess. If I walk in love, I'm not going to break the Ten Commandments. The only way I can walk in love is to believe the love that God has for me. Love will protect you and love will sustain you. One of the most important things that we have to be is secure in God's love for us before we can successfully love others. Without us knowing the love that God has for us, it's not enough just to know that verse, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son to die on the cross for us. That's a good verse to know. But you have to become fully persuaded that God's love for you knows no bounds. That there is no end to God's love for you. Some people try to contrast God's love with our human love. And that just doesn't work. See, sometimes, you know, people, when somebody does something crazy, maybe they kind of fall apart. So then people try to imagine that that's the way God would be. But nothing could be further from the truth. God loves you no matter what. The best picture I ever got that we could have on the face of this earth for the love of God is a mama with her baby. Now I know there's some rotten moms running around, but for the most part, there's some really good ones. And I never seen a mom take her kid and help that little kid walk across the living room to the couch and then take it back over to the chair to walk back to the couch again and say, okay, you're on your own. If you fall down, I've had it with you. I never seen a mom say, okay, this is the third time I put you on this potty chair. If you don't get it right this time, you're gone. No. God loves us even more than that. One of the disciples asked Jesus, said, how many times should I forgive my brother? He said, 7 times in a day? He said, no, 70 times 7. He added up, that's 490 times in a day. I mean, the guy would probably get on my short end of my patience if I had to get to the 490th time. But Jesus said that. Now, if Jesus told us to be that way, how much more do you suppose he's going to be that way? I think people take themselves too serious in their walk of faith. I've seen people show up and they hang around for 3, 4, 5, 6 months, a year or something, and then they get frustrated and they say, why can't I get this? I mean, you guys got it down. So, well, first of all, we don't have it down packed. We're working on it. But you spent 30 or 40 years being fed wrong information, being told lies about God, being told lies about yourself, and then all of a sudden you think you're going to get it all in a year? How long did it take you to learn computers? Oh, you're still learning. Oh, okay. How long did it take you to learn about the stars? Okay, so if it works that way for natural things, why do we think spiritual things are going to be any different? We can keep on learning. We can keep on learning to be loved. See, that's the key. We have to learn to be loved. We have to allow ourselves to be loved by God then we can love somebody else. One of the curious things I've learned in my adventures of being around some pretty wild people and some people were pretty crazy, some of them even dangerous. I noticed that some of them people had really, really good hearts. Well, that doesn't make sense now, does it? But they had really good hearts, but they worked really proficient at making sure nobody got to that soft spot. And they did some outrageous things to make nobody ever want to even adventure to that spot. You know, it's a curious thing. We went down to Mexico, and the cartels were everywhere down there. And most normally, you go down there, you're just not going to be too welcome. You know, in the border towns, they're not safe. But we were going down there to help the orphans, and they said, okay, just go. Let's go. They had a soft spot in their heart for orphans for some reason, but then when they get a little bigger, then they decide, well, okay, it's time to teach you the trade, if they can. But sometimes some really hurting people have really good hearts. They just don't want anybody to ever get to that soft spot ever again. So they have a hard time getting any help, getting healed. We need revelation, knowledge of God's great love for us to effectively extend that love to others. We should meditate on scriptures such as this one. Look at 1 John chapter 3, 1. See what an incredible quality of love the Father has given, actually shown and bestowed on us, that we should be permitted to be named and called and counted the children of God. We got adopted. You know, we really were kind of rogues. Our spiritual father was a rogue until we got born again. We had a rogue father that didn't love us. I'm not talking about your two-legged daddy here on earth. I'm talking about your spiritual daddy in hell. A rogue daddy that didn't love us. And then Jesus stepped in and got us adopted to a heavenly Father that does love us. What a trade, huh? That's good news. That's the gospel. Jesus stepped in and changed everything for us because he loved us. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 4 says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Do you notice? It did not mention one thing that you did. It mentioned things that Jesus did, that God did, how he loved us, how he quickened our mortal bodies, how he raised us up together and made us sit together in Christ Jesus in heavenly places at the right hand of God. See, that's where you are spiritually. Sometimes you have to just take a break from the natural. You know, the world is chaotic. Have you noticed that? There's a lot of chaos. There's a lot of chaos in our community. There's just chaos everywhere you look. Everywhere you go, there's confusion, there's chaos, there's just stuff. Every once in a while, you have to just stop and meditate on this and vision yourself sitting at the right hand of God, completely wrapped up in Jesus. That means you're far above all principality and power and might. Your enemies have been placed under your feet. You're wrapped up in Jesus. You've been baptized into Him. When you got born again, you got baptized into Christ. Boom. That's why we can say our lives are hid in Christ. It's good to know that, sometimes people get worried how God sees them. But you need not be worried about that, because He's not looking at you, turkey. In the Old Testament, when somebody made a mistake, they had to take a sacrifice to the high priest. The high priest would look over the sacrifice, make sure this thing was perfect, and he'd sacrifice it and put it on the altar, and then it would be consumed. God would see that sacrifice as good enough in His eyes. And then the man would walk away clean. It didn't say God was looking at the man. He said He was looking at the sacrifice. You know who God's looking at when He considers you? He looks at His Son, Jesus. He sees you through a veil of the blood of Jesus. So when He sees you, He sees you perfect. When He sees you, He sees you healed. He sees you whole. He sees you prospered. He sees you free. He sees you victorious. The Bible tells us, as He is now, so are we in this world. That's how God intends us to be, like Him. Well, how come I feel like a rat? Well, how come you don't meditate on the Word? See, sometimes, like it said here before, we have to get a revelation of the Word in us for us to truly understand it. Not a head knowledge, but a revelation. Kenneth Hagin used to call it a rhema word. Something that you knew in your heart. You knew. A lot of the stuff, you can't figure it out upstairs. You can't figure it out in your head. How did you get born again? Other than you said the sinner's prayer. You believed in your heart that God raised Jesus back to life, and you confessed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. But how did that happen? How did the Holy Spirit come rushing in there and take your heart of stone and turn it into a heart of flesh and make your spirit alive? How did He quicken your mortal body like that? How do you know it was the Holy Spirit that did that anyway? Because the Bible says so. That's the only answer. The Bible says so. How do you know God loves you? Because the Bible says so. How do you know you're born again? Because the Bible says so. How do you know you're going to heaven? Because the Bible says so. How do you know you're forgiven? Because the Bible says so. How do you know you're healed? Because the Bible says so. We cannot know God by any other way than the Bible. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and the Word will always agree. None of them will ever stray apart from the other. They'll always be in unison. God will always agree with the Word. Jesus will always agree with the Word. Jesus is the Word. Holy Spirit will always agree with the Word. The Word will always agree with God. Matter of fact, God holds His Word above His own name. Peter said, there's no more sure word. You know, Peter, that guy, that apostle that actually walked on water with Jesus? That same Peter that ate with Jesus, that walked around on this earth with Jesus for 3.5 years? Actually, Jesus went to Peter's house and healed his mother? And Jesus took him to the Mount of Transfiguration, and he's seen Moses, Abraham, and Jesus standing together. And then Peter said that there's no more sure word of prophecy than the written word. He said that's the most sure word of prophecy. This is coming from Peter, who talked to Jesus face to face. And he said, there's no more sure word of prophecy than the written word. The word is where you're going to find the love of God. Well, I know people seem to like burning bush experiences. They like the idea of having some kind of a wild experience, some kind of amazing thing happen. Well, I'm going to tell you, the greatest revelation, the revelation that will never get ripped from your heart, is the revelation that you got over an extended period of time of fellowshipping with Jesus in His Word and reading it over and over and over again until it sinks into your heart. Because then it's there. It's there. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 6 says, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He has made us accepted in the Beloved. There are so many people that are estranged from the community. You know, there are so many people, you know, I know people that won't set foot in this church because of something they done years ago. They don't think that they are forgiven. There's some people that will never ever set foot in any church because they made a mistake. And they don't think that they can be forgiven. You know, I knew one guy that really, he was really a powerhouse prayer warrior. And then all of a sudden he just disappeared. And he come back and he's kind of a mess. And his wife said, he does really, really good for a while, and then he just falls apart. I said, what do you think? And I said, well, there's got to be this one thing. It usually boils down to this one thing that they think that they've done that is so bad they can't be forgiven of it. See, if you don't understand that the blood of Jesus washes you of all sin and forgives you completely, you're going to have a hard, hard, hard time believing the love that God has for you. She looked at me like I slapped her with a wet fish. She said, there is one thing that He never forgives Himself for. So him and his brother were swimming one day, and his little brother drowned. And he blamed himself for that forever. And he just doesn't think that God could forgive him of it. Without understanding the forgiveness of God, you're not going to understand the righteousness of God. Without understanding that, you're not going to understand the love of God. You have to understand that when Jesus got on the cross, he took all of your sins upon himself. All of them. Past, present, and future sins. He took them all. It drives some people crazy when I say that. They say, how can he take your future sins? I say, well, unless you were standing at the cross when Jesus died, every sin you committed was a future sin. So yeah, he takes care of future sins. The blood of Jesus, 1 John 1:7 says that if you walk in the light as we are in the light, that the blood of Jesus continually cleanses you from all sin. Know this, that God has forgiven you because of what Jesus did. You may have to remind yourself of this over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. But keep doing it, and pretty soon your feelings will line up with what the Word says. But don't try to make the Word line up with what your feelings say. Your feelings are nuts, man. Your emotions are crazy. You know, you're an emotional monster on your own. But when you just bombard your soul and your spirit with the Word of God, you're going to change. And you may have to sit there and repeat the same thing to yourself over and over and over and over and over again. But keep doing it, because you will change. Not God. He's going to stay the same. But his word will change you. And it'll be a good change. He never gives us anything that's bad for us. Sometimes our flesh may say, oh, no, 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 no. Ain't going down that path. But you hit it with the word, and you keep hitting it with that word and bombing it with that word. Pretty soon your flesh will come into obedience to your spirit. Thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for everything that you do for us every day. We thank you for Holy Spirit, who is always here to teach us and guide us and show us how to rightfully divide your word. We thank you for the cross of Christ, where that perfect sacrifice happened, that set us free, that washed away our sins and put us in right standing with you. We thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.